We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You're listening to Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Broadcasting from the Hyundai Score Studios. Test drive a new Hyundai. Get a $50 reward card. Terms apply. Been an active day on the phone lines with both guests and phone callers. Passionate after an interesting night of Chicago baseball.
And we have a bonus hour of baseball talk before Zach Zaidman takes over with the pregame for Cubs baseball, before Pat and Ron take over the broadcast of the Cubs and Pirates in Pittsburgh. And we are pleased to have David DeJesus, who does such a great job on the pre- and post-game on NBC Sports, Chicago Cubs pre- and post-game games. And, David, thanks for taking some time out. We know you're in another time zone, so thanks for waking up early for us.
No problem. Pleasure to be on with you guys.
Yeah. Hey, David, when you watch the Cubs offense, and Matt and I have talked a lot about it right now, the lack of having a true leadoff man like a David DeJesus, where you spent most of your career in that spot, how do you think that's impacted the Cubs over the last couple of years?
I think it's definitely hurt them, because you saw what an impact leadoff hitter like, you know, who, Dexter Fowler. He was a guy that was just going to give you pro at-bats, make the pitcher work, and really set the mindset of the team going forward for that game. Hey, we have a game plan. Before the game starts, you get a game plan on the pitcher. There's a pitcher's meeting. We all sit at the table. Hey, how do we think this pitcher is going to attack us? And it's up to that leadoff hitter to really work that pitcher, that first at-bat, see what that pitcher is controlling, commanding, is wanting to throw ahead in the count, whatever that is. But that leadoff hitter starts the mentality of the game. And right now, they're running through so many different guys that they're losing their focus early on, and it's just affecting the game. And it's really, when I'm watching this team right now, it's a lot of just four-pitch at-bats, four-pitcher out. And I'm swinging at pitchers' pitches rather than having an approach, staying within your approach. Yes, you're going to get out sometimes, but sometimes there's at-bats where, hey, I got to just lock in. Let myself get to two strikes and do something, shoot the ball the other way, just do something to make this pitcher work. And that's what we're not seeing right now.
You know, it's good stuff. David, it's interesting. I think we can now say definitively, especially after watching these last 4 or 5 years, that leadoff is one of those spots on a ball club like closer where mentally it affects you. Like, you have to be super strong and solid mentally. You can't just put the best guy numerically there and hope that it works out. But what you're saying is a sort of a broader concept, the effect that it can have on the entire lineup to just have the consistency. Have you been on ball clubs where you felt either the positive effect or the negative effect of lineup consistency?
Yes and no, because I understand that nowadays you want to get your guys, your studs, up 4 to 5 times a game. And I know it's going to top load the lineup, but I think there is something to guys that are just hard out at the top of the game, that are going to battle. And I hear from a lot of pitchers say, sometimes those are the toughest guys. Those are the guys that I won't see, guys that are just going to battle me. They might not be the best players, but they're just going to put a tough at bat each and every time, and I'm going to have to work through at bat. And sometimes with the sluggers, hey, I can just throw them sliders away, and they will swing at it. They might clip it once in a while, but they're an easier out. So I think it comes down to this whole lineup buying into something. They don't have that leadoff guy right now. You know, Hayward has done good here and there, but these last few years, you've seen the decline of the offense, and it could partly be due to the no leadoff hitter or no specific guy taking over that role.
David, there's an arrogance about a really good leadoff guy. You saw the very best ever back in the day with Ricky Henderson, and you can't replicate or duplicate the ability and the overall talent of Ricky Henderson. But we've seen it. We've seen it with people like you. We certainly saw it with Fowler, that there was an arrogance. Even if he struck out after seven or eight pitches, there was a feel-good of him coming back to the dugout and saying, "Hey, guys, you just saw everything that the pitcher has in my at-bat.
No doubt.
And now you can move on from there." And he knows, in general, that he's shown everything that he has in that at-bat, and we have him going the other way, even though he struck me out.
Yeah, and you're so right, because I remember being an Oakland A and having Ricky Henderson in the locker room. And he would just, because I was supposed to be the leadoff hitter that year, but I ended up being the third hitter my first year in Oakland. I don't know how. That was crazy. But he would just talk, "Hey, it's a mentality. It's a mentality of, okay, I have a plan. And he might get me out that first at bat, and I might have to take something. I might have to go down 0-2 and just battle. But like I said before, it's a mentality that, hey, I am going to grind. And then when the other guys see the leadoff hitter willing to just, hey, I am going to take some at-bats off, not meaning like, all right, just give them away, but I'm going to let myself get into tough counts. I'm going to work things out first, and there might be a bat later in the game from anyone in the lineup that, like you saw yesterday with Kinsler, he got tired.
Right.
When he started wobbling. And that's what a good offense does, and that's what you see continually from the good offenses, Yankees and Dodgers, I would say, and Astros. Those guys continually make you work, and then you get tired, then it leaves something on the plate, and that's when the big innings happen.
You know, with Albert Almora down, it changes things in your defensive outfield, and that can change things in your defensive infield. I'm wondering if Kyle Schwarber is a guy who needs to be replaced for defense these days. Has he earned the possibility of staying out there in left field, which is obviously the least challenging of the three outfield spots, or do you still need to replace him with a lead in the eighth or ninth?
You know, right, he's proven to be a formidable outfielder. I would say give him a shot. Let him continually to grow as an outfielder, because he has a great arm. Guys don't really run on him anymore. And, hey, he's not an outfielder, so he's going to make mistakes. You can push him back close to the wall, make him come in on balls. But right now, I think, what are your options, really? You know, if is Hap going to be come into play center field? Are you going to move Hayward to right? Are you going to take Castellanos' bat out of the lineup? I don't think you can. So I think you stay with the Hayward in center. You let Schwarber do his thing out there, and because he can run into some baseballs, and you see Castellanos in right. And you got to understand, this is what it is. The pitchers know who's out there too. So they're going to be a little more lenient, even though they don't want to give up runs. They're going to understand, hey, okay, we need some offense. We know that what's been struggling all season long has been the offense. So having those bats in there might help them get a run or two or push a run or two late in the game to give them the win.
David DeJesus joins us on Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes. Does such a great job, along with David Kaplan, on the pre- and post-game for NBC Sports Chicago and Cub games. David, take us into the mind of a player on a team where they know the manager has had success. He's in the last year of a contract, and the team itself is kind of in between success and failure on a nightly basis. If you have any thoughts about where you've been with that, and does my question is, are the players aware of it, and do they watch the manager and how he reacts compared to how he reacted in previous years and times?
You know, I would say we don't really know about it. We're always focused as a player on that game. Hey, we want to win or lose. But, you know, with the now with social media being in our hand all the time, you're reading these articles. You're seeing the headlines when you're scrolling through. So you're understanding, hey, if we're talking about Joe Maddon right now, we're talking about Joe Maddon. He's on the hot seat. Yes, you're reading those articles. You're seeing what people are saying. So that is there. But as a player, you're not really worried about it. You're worried about getting your job done because it comes down to the players' actions on the field. If they're producing, the manager looks great. But if they're not producing, now it's going to be on either the hitting coach, the manager, or maybe like Albert Mora, the player will go down. If you're an established name, who knows what will happen. But as a player, we're not seeing it. But I remember I was part of a 19-game losing streak with Kansas City. And it was one of those things that I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was Buddy Bell was our manager. And the great thing about Buddy, he was positive through it all, man. He's like, hey, guys, let's keep working. We were a young team. We weren't a veteran team, so that's the difference. We were a young team, so it's getting out there, taking our ground balls, doing things. But it wasn't this, hey, we got to do this crazy thing. We're big leaguers. We understand that it's our job to produce, or we're not going to be in the big leagues that much longer. So, but the one thing I'm watching right now with the Cubs that I can understand because I dealt with that losing streak is there's always that like one play in the game that it just sets your mind, here we go again type of play. Mm. And always this one, there's a play in the game that's like, uh-oh, here we go again. And especially on the road, this is what happens. It's the mentality of, we're not taking it to them anymore. Uh-oh, here we go again. Let's let something happen. And it seems like always the home team on the road takes it to the other, makes that play, gets that big hit. And that's why they're losing so many games on the road.
23-39 on the road for a winning percentage of .371. At home, 41-19 for a winning percentage of .683. Your colleague, Chris Kampka, says that is the biggest differential between home and road win percentage in the history of the Chicago Cubs, the entire history of the franchise. I was going to ask you for your crackpot theory, since we had a caller earlier who said it's because the families aren't on the road trip and guys are, you know, playing around with road beef or whatever his theory was.
But wow.
I know.
Really,
what's
that?
Road beef?
You really said that?
Yeah. Well, no, road beef is my phrase. Sorry about that.
Road beef. Oh, my goodness.
but no, it sounds like what you think is, you know, the mentality of the losing when something bad happens, the avalanche effect is a real thing on the road.
It's a real thing because it's baseball sometimes is a game of momentum. As you see in basketball, when you get rolling, teams start rolling. So in baseball, it's always that one play. And when you already know, every player in the locker room already knows, hey, we're struggling on the road. And then you have that play that really just kind of breaks your back or just ignites a rally from the other team. They get momentum because the other team knows, hey, this team struggles. They can't close out games. They've blown a lot of leads late in the game. So they get the momentum. Hey, we can win this game. We're just as good as this Cub team. And then on the flip side, the Cubs are like, oh, here we go again. Uh-oh. Then you get a little tight. Then you make the Bodie play the other day. That's a basic play coming in, make the play against the Phillies, throw it in the first base. But then you just get a little tight. Then you see pitches over the middle of the plate, and that's when you see big things happen. So pressure adds to it, trying to do too much, because we're creatures of habit. We're just, hey, we're throwing the baseball, taking our swings, and when you add pressure, that's when you see that ball spinning over the middle plate. That's when you see that little error that David Bodie would make that probably 98 out of 100 times. But pressure adds a little something to it, trying to do too much, and then that's when mistakes happen, and it seems like consistently it happens on the road. I don't understand why it doesn't happen at home. It's just the weirdest thing. That's what baseball is. But they got to fix this because right now, right now, this team that we're watching on the road is not a playoff team.
Right.
If you're being honest, really assessing what you're seeing on the road, they have more road games than at home. They should be able to win this division, but I don't know right now. I just don't know. They don't play good enough against their own division, against the bad teams in the division as well.
In that same vein, Matt and I really appreciate you taking some time out today, David.
No problem.
In the same vein, can the Cubs win without their ace, John Lester, who's taking the mound today and had a little bit better one last time out, without Lester straightening out and being John Lester the last 40 games or the last, in this case, six or seven starts of the season?
I mean, he's your ace. Definitely, he is the number one guy. So I'm not worried about John Lester. I'm worried about the offense. That's really where my worries are and closing out games. Right now, Kinsler's working his legs back, but the bullpen, there's question marks there. You know, I have some solid guys, but when's Kimbrel coming back? Is he going to be the same?
Right.
And before, he wasn't really dominant yet.
Right.
So is he going to come back? Are we going to expect him to be dominant? So those are question marks. But John Lester, I'm not worried about him. You need the starting pitchers to be better. Yes. These last couple of weeks, you've had a lot of games where on the postgame, we're like, all right, throw it in the garbage. That can't happen down this stretch. There's not that many baseball games left. This season's coming to a close soon. So they need guys to start stepping up and being themselves, but playing loose and playing relaxed. And you're just seeing right now there's just too much tension in these bodies while they're playing the game.
David, keep up the great work with our buddy Cap on the pre and
yes.
post for Cubs TV. It's enjoyable. It's informative. It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
Thanks for taking some
Thank
time
you.
Out with Matt and I today on Inside the Clubhouse.
And I'll keep Cap off the ledge, guys.
Okay.
I'll try and talk him down, all right?
And try to ask him that blue checker sport coat.
Yeah.
You tell him he
yeah,
could toss that one, but everything else looks good.
Hey, man, I'm just glad the beard is gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Nice.
Cap's our guy.
He's on Twitter. Hey, he's like, hey, do you want to see this or not? He's hilarious. He's the best.
David, thanks again. We appreciate
all right, thanks,
it.
Guys.
All right. David DeJesus, our Cub Television pre- and post-game host with our buddy Cap, and he does a really good job. And he was very strong today about where they're at and where they're not at.
Says not a playoff team. You watch them play, especially on the road, it's not a playoff team.
But, you know, David works for, you know, the station that carries the Cubs. He doesn't pull any punches. He tells you exactly where it's at, and I appreciate that.
670 The Score is where you are. It's Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. We've got the rest of the show to take your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Sox fans, you want to talk about Bill Walton? You want to talk about Lucas Giolito? Yoan Moncada at AAA? Cub fans, you want to continue the distress? You can do that as well. Dial it up and get involved right here on Inside the Clubhouse on The Score.
I understand that it starts and then you play,
yeah.
But that the offense can't touch the ball, and that the defense goes first, and that there's no time limits, and you just go until somebody says, it's over. Sounds very much like a dead show.
It's a timeless game.
Bill Walton trying to wrap his head around baseball early on in the game. That he did with Jason Benetti last night at NBC Sports.
His book is coming out. It's called Learning Baseball at Age 66 by Bill Walton. And I thought it was fabulously entertaining theater. For one night only.
One night only. One night only.
A second night would put me into watching another sport.
Well, I'm sure you're not alone there. But my God, it just seemed like the perfect palate cleanser after two absolutely brutal Cubs losses to have that.
Yeah, you're thinking that it's the same audience, but not necessarily so.
Well, no, I some of us Chicago baseball people will go from broadcast to broadcast.
Well, I do, and you do. We that's our job.
I know, but I also think that, and I don't know what the ratings will show, but I know a lot of folks who tuned in to hear Walton just to be like, all right, I got to check this out. And I don't know how Jason Benetti kept the scoreboard working, or kept the scorecard working, and was able to fill it all in.
The cool thing is, Jason's idea.
Yep.
The fine people at NBC Sports Chicago agreed, and they had fun and they enjoyed it. But I can't wait for Steve Stone to come back after after this weekend, because it shows you really how great Stone is at doing what he does.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
As in how consistently above average he has been for well over 30 years, giving you information and insight into what's going on.
Michael Schur, who is Ken Tremendous on Twitter and is a very accomplished television writer. The Good Place is him. He worked on The Office for a lot of years. And he used to do the baseball blog Fire Joe Morgan years ago. Michael Schur, that's Jason Benetti's partner today, as he continues the cavalcade of stars out there in Los Angeles. So that should be a good listen as well. Michael Schur is a very funny, very interesting guy. And Benetti can talk to anybody. That's part of his mastery.
He'll start off by asking him, are you sure?
Yeah, and I think the answer is probably yes. We're going to let you hear Bill Walton and James McCann from postgame a little bit later before we get out of here on 670 The Score. But let's take some phone calls. This is Mike in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Mike, you're in Fort Wayne, and now you're on The Score. Good morning.
Well, nice to talk to you, gentlemen. I just got a couple of bullet points addressing pitching and the offense and let you guys address them. But the Chatwood thing bothers me with the number of injuries we have. And I know Joe doesn't have his guys, but I don't see why can't somebody like Chatwood, who has an arm that seems adaptable, be stretched out a little bit? Why isn't he the guy with the way these other guys are struggling to go in there in that eighth inning and see if he can't maybe get a two inning save. The other thing on the offense is these are just things that I notice. We hit a lot of home runs. I understand the launch angle and all that stuff, but we hit a lot of solo home runs, which bothers me. We seem to get a lot of people on base, save maybe the last couple weeks where it seems like we're in a stretch where we're not getting maybe as many runners on. But why can't these guys, as gifted as they are, adjust to take advantage, especially when you're struggling, to eke out that run or two, you know, one run at a time, early in a ball game? We don't seem to put runs up early, and we don't seem to hit behind the runner.
I have your answer. I have the answer for you. The answer is that they're not trained to do it. In the minor leagues, it's not a requirement to get to the major leagues. They are getting there on their raw talent, their ability to be athletic and to hit home runs. And they do not have to have that tool, nor is it required to get there. And it's going to take organizations, Matt, a change of mind about what they want in a ball player before they promote him to the major leagues.
Some organizations are already there. Jeff Luhnow and the Astros said, frankly, openly, in 2017, after they lost 343 games over the course of 3 years, we need guys who don't scout. We need some guys who don't strike out. And if you look at them, they have the best strikeout rate as an offense, meaning the lowest in all of baseball. They also have the highest strikeout rate as a pitching staff in all of baseball because they're the Astros. But anyway,
the Astros who have added veterans along.
That's for sure. But you know, you need to target guys like that earlier in the process.
Well, you have to be able to be bad for a while, and then you know, is Nick Madrigal going to be that guy for the Chicago White Sox? A guy that's only struck out maybe 18 times in over 100 at bats. Or I'm sorry, over in 100 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
Will we see a turnaround of them going back to the more 70s, 80s approach of having table setters and then having your home run and launch angle guys like you've always had in the game?
There'll be a mix. I think we will go back to a mix.
I think that's a part of your answer. I don't know if you accept it as you know what it is, but that's my theory on it.
The question I have, though, they showed it in, when we got off to that rocky first week, 2 weeks, they went, and then they went on that streak over 20, 25 games, whatever it was, where it seemed like they were willing to do that.
They were moving the ball around.
And I think they have that capability. And I understand, I mean, all these guys have played baseball their entire life. They have to have worked on at least some base knowledge of being able to move the ball to get the ball when you need us. We have so much soft contact or no contact with runners on base.
You know what also happens, Mike, and thank you for the call. What also happens is as the year goes on and guys struggle a little bit, a lot of them say, you know what, I just got to go back to being me. I got to go back to being me and producing. And then they go back to being themselves. As we've gone through hitting coach after hitting coach after hitting coach, and this year Joe Maddon being more involved, trying to get that nuanced message across, and the situational hitting was good early on, but it has absolutely regressed to where they are being who they've always been.
It has, because the players have not been taught how to play that type of game, and it's not been required. It's not their fault that they were promoted to the major leagues, that they were put in starting lineups, that they became an important part of a team. It's the organization, not just the Cubs, but as you point out, many other teams,
mm-hmm.
that once these guys fail because the metrics are so good at getting you out and pitching over and under a swing like they have now, then there is no adjustment period because they haven't been taught or haven't gotten the impact that they want out of their other tools to go back and do this. Therefore, you see guys like Russell, you see guys like Almora, you see guys like Schwarber and Happ. They go back to the minor leagues, and it's like, boy, you're a failure. No, you're not a failure. The organizations, and not just the Cubs, the organizations have failed to teach these guys mm-hmm. the essence of what it is to have more to your game than just hitting a ball out of the park.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, your Western Conference champion. Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. That's why I asked Jason McLeod in our first hour whether it's a product of drafting or development sometime with these hitters and not being able to make the contact. Because some orgs, and I keep going back to the Astros, they can teach. Like Bregman's strikeout rates have gone down. George Springer's strikeout rates have gone down. And some guys are talented enough to learn it and be taught it at the big league level. But often, you just have to go find the guys who are good at contact.
Well, you're talking about exceptional number one picks. You know, you're talking about being bad for a long time so you get them. You know, that's a product of it. But you're right about the Astros making the right choices. They've missed on one big one, and that was it. They've been right about almost all their other scouting choices. But from the aspect of dealing with the Cubs not being able to move the ball around, they're missing a huge defensive and offensive player, and nobody's talking about it, and that's Contreras. If you don't think that he's an important player, just watch how the team has floundered since he's been out and the impact that he has not had on the middle of the lineup in the middle of the batting order.
Bottom of the hour also brought to you by Anthony Buick GMC in Gurnee. Get huge back-to-school savings on every new Buick and GMC truck in stock. At Anthony Buick GMC in Gurnee, there are over 400 vehicles available, something for every budget. GMC, we are professional grade. Visit anthonygurnee.com. Let's take another phone call before we take a break. This is Ken in Logansport, Indiana, on 670 The Score. What's up, Ken? How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and really enjoyed listening to you.
Appreciate it.
Couple things. Addison Russell, I'm so glad they called him back up. And what I'd like to see Maddon do with him is to start him every game and let him go out there and play second base and put him in that batting order, and let's hope he can get going. And I like that. Our defense is definitely going to be stronger. We got somebody to back up Baez.
Right.
So I like that. I also liked a couple things. Contreras, Bruce mentioned him being out, and I agree so much. He's such a great player. And the other thing is in the outfield, they might – this camp's supposed to be able to play out there. And then, like someone said, I think it was a good point. Do we need to really replace Schwarber all the time?
Yeah,
keep Bryant in there on third base. But anyways, I'm for the Cubs. Hey, we can win this. We're just as good as St. Louis and the Brewers, but I think we got to win our division. Yeah. So let's go get them.
Lots of games left in that division, too. You're going to see
right. A
lot of that. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Matt, they're going to have to win head-to-head. I mean, it's going to be sensational theater every night for the last 5 weeks, especially once you get into September when you're, the Cardinals and the Brewers have a lot of games left with each other.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs have a lot of games left with the Brewers, I think 9. So 9 with St. Louis, 6 with the Brewers.
And they're gettable. I mean, every team in this division is decent but gettable.
The number one thing you'll hear from Epstein and Hoyer and Madden is, if we get our guys back healthy, we got a hell of a chance to win. And if they get Kimbrel straightened out and back, and one of our callers made a great point, you get him back, great. But what are you getting back? Is he back to square one? Mm. He hadn't gotten all the way to 10 on the Kimbrel gun as far as being the pitcher that he was yet. He was getting there. You saw the breaking ball a little bit tighter. You saw the fastball with a little bit better command and a little bit more velocity. But it wasn't there yet. How many steps backward does he take being out 2 weeks to get back into that? And that's going to be one of the keys to them winning the rest of the way.
Yep, we will see. Zach Zaman and Cubs pregame coming up towards the top of the hour. One more segment to go on Inside the Clubhouse right here on 670 The Score.
Oh, my God.
Deep to right field. Way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk-off home run. Grand slam, Bryce Harper. Wow! The Phillies have come from behind to win it 7-5.
Oh, that highlight out of Philadelphia. As you can tell, the broadcasters were happier than the Cubs broadcasters were, Bruce Levine.
It was actually third deck.
It was? I thought it did reach the third deck.
Oh, indeed.
Just an absolute bomb.
It was one of those television-made, movie-made home runs where they fantasize about it breaking lights and, you know, smoke going up in the air and, you know, something out of the natural.
Yeah.
That's how it was for the moment. Not for Cub fans.
No, but Bryce Harper said that you live for those kind of moments. And he said he was sprinting around the bases. He just wanted to get back to the guys for the dog pile.
You know what moments he really lives for? When he gets his check every 2 weeks.
That is a very cynical take on Bryce Harper, human and ball player.
Can you imagine what that's like? Divide.
I'm sure that's nice, yes.
Divide 34 million by 6 months, and you get two checks a month.
Yeah, it was pretty good, probably.
Yeah.
But I think he genuinely likes the game. I think he enjoys the game, Bruce.
About $3 million every 2 weeks.
Yeah, but he seems to enjoy
it's
the game.
Kind of like the check you get.
It's very similar to that. How about the fact that Quintana was absolutely brilliant this week with 14 strikeouts? Darvish, as good as you've ever seen him, with 7 shutout innings and double-digit strikeouts. Hendricks only struck out a couple last night, but he was awfully good for 7 innings, and all 3 of those games are losses.
Yep. It is maddening, and it's not maddening, but maddening, the fact that they can't win those games. And I'm sure it doesn't bother anyone more than it bothers the Chicago Cubs. It's something that, Jim Deshays said to us when he was on with us as a guest earlier, you know, you want to pick up and throw something, but that's really not going to get it done.
Yeah, I don't really know how you as a ball club recover from the last two, you know? I mean, recovering from one of them, play again, obviously.
No, I mean, Matt, I can't buy that because they're as good as the other 7 teams. They're not as good as the Dodgers. They're not as good as the Braves, but they're plenty good enough to win their division and be right there at the end because, you know, tell me the other teams that are better than they are.
In the division?
No, in the National League.
Better than the Cubs?
Yeah, other than the Dodgers and Braves.
Well, I think you got to make a case for the Phillies right now. Phillies just
swept
them. Why?
Because they won 4 in a row?
Yeah, well, I mean,
they were dog you know what before that. Mm-hmm. People were starting to count them out. Arrieta's going to have season-ending surgery. There was doom and gloom around there. One good week, one 4-game winning streak, and all of a sudden everybody's looking at them like they're different. Washington,
how about the
arguably,
Nationals?
Is a better team.
Max Scherzer coming back in the arguably, middle of this week. Strasburg, the best of his career.
Everybody was on the Mets last week. Now they've lost 4 in a row. Okay, they're not on the Mets. So What I'm telling you is all these teams are very similar. The Cubs have the ability and also the manpower when they're healthy to step away and win this division and be the third best team with a chance to be even better if these people are able to physically get back to where they are as a team and then mentally have that good feeling about themselves as they go into the playoffs. But the National League is so mediocre as far as the talent base, and they're so average that one good week makes them into the new hot team. They're the new sexy person.
Other than the Dodgers and the Braves.
Yeah, those two teams are superior, and the Cubs are just another part of that group, but they have the ability and the players to get it to be better.
This from Chris Bryant last night on how you recover from these two losses in a row. Quote, I don't remember it ever in my whole baseball playing career. I don't know how to respond to it. It's all new to me. It's new to most of us. Cliche, you got to keep going. I don't know what else to say. I really don't. We just got to keep playing. We have another game tomorrow and another after that, 40 more. To the phone lines we go. 670 The Score is where you are. This is John in LaPorte, Indiana. John, you're on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, John.
I like your show.
Thank you.
First-time caller to the show.
Appreciate it.
But there's no other business that I know of, and it is a business. You brought it up. Harper loves his $35 million a year, but the Cubs are no different. Neither is Madden. When you're asked why you're not performing in a certain area on a job, I know of no manager that if you said, well, I don't know, the person in charge would tell them, figure it out or you're gone.
True.
These guys haven't figured it out, and they need to be gone, all of them.
Well,
every single one of them.
I mean, I understand your frustration. You might be taking it a little far, but on the other hand, you're right, because every job, including sports, you know, except in this era, it's like the last person that's responsible for the result is the player. And that's all wrong.
Yep.
But that's the era we live in right now where the play – I mean, how many coaches – and the Cub for the Cubs over the last 5 years have been blamed for the lack of success for a player.
A lot of pitching coaches, a lot of hitting coaches. There's nobody left. It's Joe.
Right. So it's not Joe.
No. I mean, that's all that's left to blame.
Right. So, okay, they can blame him and fire him. But ultimately, you're going to have the same players. And if they're not getting it done and adjusting, someone's going to have to come up with the interesting concept that the players are responsible for their own results.
No more guaranteed money.
I'm for it.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the call. Top of the hour to come is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion, Chicago Wolves, will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com.
The hardest thing for Epstein, Hoyer, or any general manager or president to do is replace players, especially when you've taken time to develop them, especially when they've been successful in your organization. Having a strong eye and the resiliency to say, we don't want Chris Bryant anymore. We don't want Kyle Schwarber anymore. We don't want Anthony Rizzo anymore. We can do better with a different group. That takes an awful lot of resolve to be able to come up with those ideas. But nonetheless, if the Cubs did something like the Yankees did a few years ago by trading a guy like Bryant in the offseason that brought three stud players from somewhere else, and you don't do a total rebuild, but you do an in-year rebuild, that might be the way that Epstein and Hoyer feel they have to go in the future.
Well, they might have no choice but to do something like that, and maybe it's Contreras. You've got all those guys coming up for free agency at the same time. You're going to have to find a way to replenish the guys that you kept, like Schwarber, Almora, Russell. Their value is not there. Your farm system is not stocked. You have limited money. They might have to make a trade like that.
Right, but it would be a stealth move if they decided to do that. Unfortunately, you're running into guys like Lester and Quintana that are running out of contract. And what do you do about that as far as contending and trading at the same time? So it should be an intriguing offseason regardless how it works.
Yeah, it should be. And, I'm incredibly intrigued by what the Dodgers, the Astros, and other teams are doing and what the Cubs may or may not be doing in terms of development and coaching. And I know it's an arms race and a bunch of smart guys battling against each other. It's just interesting to watch the trends around the league and see where the Cubs stand.
Your show tomorrow, it's Hit and Run. What's going on tomorrow?
Hit and Run. We'll have Chris Kampka, as always, for Chris Kamp Connections. And then my friend Steve Albini, legendary record producer and general thought machine. He's an absolute thought machine on baseball and a lot of other things. He's going to come in and do the 10 o'clock hour with me.
We're sorry we didn't get to the people on hold. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for everybody that joined us. We thank Jim Deshaies of the Cubs broadcast team. We thank, of course, David DeJesus. We thank Jason McLeod, the Vice President of Scouting and Minor Leagues for the Chicago Cubs. We thank Zach Withers for a job well done. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. Our website, 670thescore.com. I write Cubs and Sox every day. Matt, have a great show tomorrow. I'll see you next week.
Thank you so much, Bruce. It is 670 The Score. Have a great day, everybody.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.